Well, I'm excited tonight to continue the series that we have been in, Family Matters. And so we're going to be back in Proverbs 22 tonight, Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. And as you grab your Bibles, if you're able, would you stand with me tonight out of respect for the reading of God's Word? Proverbs 22 and verse number 6, and if you would, say it in unison with me. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Father, we love you. Again, we pray that you would have your will, that you would have your way in this time. Father, I pray that your word would be clear tonight. Father, I pray that your word would be convincing tonight. And Father, that we as your people would be surrendered to it. Help us to heed what we hear in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I have thoroughly enjoyed personally the study that we have been engaged in, Family Matters. Because family does matter, amen? No matter how you slice it, family matters. But when you begin to understand it biblically, we have seen that the family is the first institution created by God there in the garden. And it is the foundational institution of our society. Family matters. And since family is God's creation, we must do it God's way. Now, last week we began to look at this principle, train up a child in the way that he should go. Now, as I stated last week, it will be true this week and next week and the week after that. We will probably not get beyond the first word, that idea of train. Last week we considered that, we considered the authority that is inherent in that word. That parents are the agents of God accountable for their kids to Almighty God. That in the structure that God has put in place in the home, there is no struggle for authority. God has settled it. Junior's will might be strong, but God's word is stronger. There is no struggle for authority in the home. God has settled the fact that mom and dad are the authority in the home. By the way, mom and dad, if you don't believe it, they never will. If you don't have it settled in your own heart, don't ever expect them to understand that. God has put you, mom and dad, in the position of authority, his agent in the home. So we consider train up a child in the authority inherent in the idea of training. Tonight we're going to talk about a different aspect of training, and that is goals. Goals. All real training must have goals. For instance, if I am going to train a dog, it starts with the idea of what do I want to train the dog to do? Do I want to train the dog not to go potty in the house? Do I want to train the dog to sit, to lie down, to play fetch? What do I want to train the dog to do? And the goals that I have for training will determine the methods that I use and the direction that I go. Goals. I think about goals that we might have for ourselves physically. You know, if I walk into the gym, I ought to have goals for what I'm going to do. And if my goal is to lose weight, I probably shouldn't spend a half an hour on the inversion table. It's not going to help me meet my goal. And so when I begin a training program, I need to have goals. Methods are important. They really are. But you have to know where you're going before you can talk about how to get there. And so in weeks to come, we will talk about methods of training. But right now, we have got to talk about what we are trying to train for. What are the goals? Now, we all have parenting goals. Stated or unstated, thought through or thoughtless, we are all operating with goals at heart. They are a fundamental part of what and why we as parents, why we parent the way we do. So tonight, for a few minutes, we're going to consider this. Train up a child with the idea of goals. The first thing that I want for us to note tonight is the fickle culture in which we live. We live in a fickle, fickle culture. A culture that when it comes to parenting, largely parents by convenience. Our culture largely parents by convenience. Let me expound on that a little bit. Most parents would have trouble stating concrete goals in their parenting. What do you want to accomplish in the life of Junior? You as God's agent, what is it that you are trying to accomplish? Most parents would have a hard time trying to state in a concrete way parenting goals. Most parents, I think we can honestly say, don't live preoccupied by the goals that they may have. Life is tough, and we are all just trying to make it through to tomorrow. And so we do the best we can with the day we have. But you know what? When we operate by that principle, which, by the way, I have been guilty of operating by before, when we get there, we are operating or we are parenting by convenience. And you know what happens when we parent by convenience? When we parent by convenience, we resort to what works. Why is it that parents resort to things that are verbally, emotionally, or sometimes even physically abusive? Because in the moment, it works to get them what they want. Why is it that we resort to what worked on us as a kid? And, well, I didn't turn out that bad, did I? Because for that moment, it works. Why is it that we resort to what will get us through, even if it means rewarding bad behavior? How many of us have ever been in the grocery store? And we'll separate ourselves from it. We've seen another person's kid throwing a fit. We've all seen other people's kids throw a fit. Amen? Yeah, okay. That's okay. Whew, we're more comfortable with that. And we see that other person's kid throw a fit, and we see, like, bargaining take place. Well, Junior, if you'll stop screaming and throwing things and jumping up and down and making a scene, if you'll stop right now when we get to the checkout, I'll do what? I'll buy you a candy bar. Why is it that we resort even sometimes to rewarding bad behavior? Because in the moment, it works. But it works to do what? It works to get the result that we want in that moment. It's convenient. And when we parent by convenience, our parenting goals are often no more noble than our own immediate comfort and our own immediate convenience. Let that sink in. When we parent by convenience, when we do what works because it's what works in that moment, what we have made our goal is my own comfort in that instance. And the trouble is this, is when we parent by convenience, you know what happens? In the immediate, often we get the result that we want. But do you know what it does in the long run? It creates confusion. It creates a whole lot of confusion. Parenting by convenience will always bring confusion and will eventually breed resentment. Now, what are we teaching when we parent by convenience? What are we teaching when we do what's necessary in the moment to get the immediate outcome so people won't look at us like that anymore? You know what? When we parent by convenience, our kids don't know. You know, what was funny one day is reason to get yelled at the next. What was ignored over here created this huge fiasco with big consequences over here. When we parent by convenience, our kids don't know. And I'm going to tell you what, there is nothing more frustrating than a moving target or rules that keep changing. Have you ever tried to play a game where the rules keep changing? It is frustrating. And it breeds confusion. And when we parent by convenience, we always bring confusion to our kids, and eventually resentment comes. Because when we parent by confusion, or when we parent by convenience, do you know what we operate on? We operate on our own preferences, what we want. We operate on our own passions, our emotions. How many times have we let our emotions make parenting decisions for us? When we parent by convenience, it's our preferences, it's our passions, it's our pride. Sometimes what's okay at home but not okay in over here is simply because we don't want so-and-so to think of our family that way. That's pride. That's pride. And so when we parent by convenience and we let our preferences, our passions, and our pride run the show, we show a disdain for our divine responsibility and a disregard for our children's development. Because in essence, it's all about me. My preference, my passion, my pride. And you'll remember last week, our authority as a parent, it comes from who? It comes from God, in that we are God's agent, but we are accountable to God. And so let me ask you, does my anger or my embarrassment or my pride have any place in making decisions in my parenting? No. Because as James reminds us, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And when we parent by convenience, more times than not, we make it about us. And eventually, the kid moves from being confused at the moving target, confused by the moving standard, and figures out what's really going on. It's not about my good. It's not about the church. It's not about this. It's about mom and dad. And that will breed resentment. But this is how our culture operates. We have a fickle culture that can't see past what they want in that instance. But what we as a church have to do, and what we as Christian families have to do, first and foremost, when it comes to goals, we have to understand that parenting is not about me. Parenting is not about me, and parenting is not about you. We cannot afford to parent by convenience. And so what other option do we have then as believers? What other option then do we have as Christians to train up children in the way that they should go? Well, opposite or opposed to a fickle culture would be operating with a firm conviction. Now, this is the glorious truth right here. We as believers have an advantage. Now, remember I mentioned a little while ago that non-believers and most people, they don't wake up today with an overwhelming sense of what they are to parent for. Most of us wake up and hope that we get our kids off to school without losing or killing one of them. But we as Christians are different. Because we as Christians understand this, that the goal of parenting is really the same goal for all of mankind. Solomon put it this way, Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, beginning at verse number 13. He said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so we understand what is the duty of man: to fear God and to keep his commandments. Because we're going to answer to God one day. You know, Jesus put it this way in Mark chapter 12. Beginning in verse 28, we see a little context. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first or greatest, most important commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.'" And so what is the purpose of man? It is to fear God and keep his commandments, knowing that we will give an answer to God one day. What is the greatest commandment? It would be that we recognize that God is Lord and that we love him with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds. This is the divine purpose. The divine purpose is this, and here's the goal. Now, next week, we will break this out. But unless we get this word, we don't get it. This is the goal. Your kids, my kids, were created by God for God. My kids and your kids were created by God for God. I think of the song that they sing in Revelation chapter 4 around the throne in verse 11. And it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Our goal as parents, our goal as God's agents over our children, should be that our children glorify God by coming to know him, by coming to know his will, and by eventually enjoying him forever. We are God's agents. Our children do not belong to us. They're on loan, if you will, from God. They are not my kids in that I possess them. They are my kids in that I am stewards of them for God. And there can be no greater goal in the life of a parent, and there can be no greater goal even in the life of a grandparent, than that we give ourselves and we structure our training that our children and grandchildren might come to glorify God by knowing him and doing his will and enjoying him forever. It's about God. And children are given purpose by God. Do you know when God created your child, God had a purpose for your child? And the question, and we'll get to this in a minute, but I'm going to get ahead of myself. The question that we should always ask is not, "Johnny, what do you want to be when you grow up?" But, "Johnny, what does God want you to do when you grow up?" Our children were purposed by God. You don't get to determine that purpose. I don't get to determine that purpose. Really, he or she shouldn't get to determine that purpose. God has determined that purpose, and God determines the purpose, and the parents get to prepare the child. That's the distinction. Children are given purpose by God, and children are given preparation by parents. We have to have a firm conviction that our children have a divine purpose. And that purpose, first and foremost, is to glorify God. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. A divine purpose demands a divine plan. That makes sense, right? That God's purpose demands God's plan. So, as we set goals for our children, our goals should be to accomplish God's purpose. And therefore, our goals should be according to God's word. Our goals should be biblical. Our goals should be biblical. Now, that seems kind of duh to Christians, does it not? Well, duh, our parenting goal should be biblical. But you know what? As I studied this over the last week or so, I was really convicted about how unbiblical most of my goals were. You know, you take just the general goal, what all parents want for their kids. We want our kids what? We want our kids to be able to do well, don't we? I mean, what parent doesn't want their kid to do well? Now, when we say do well, what do we mean? We mean we generally want for our kids to have happy, comfortable lives, unfettered by problems. I would love for my kids to have a good life. But let me ask you this. What if God's purpose was that they go to somewhere like Papua New Guinea and be a missionary? It's not an overly comfortable life. A lot of malaria, hardships. Brother Charles and I were talking to a missionary to India a couple weeks ago. Awesome guy, Dr. Billa was his name. And he has a ministry to the orphans, he has a ministry to the lepers. And he said when he went to the leper camp the first time, he ran out of water. And those people, those lepers that lived in the colony, went to go get him water. And they wanted to give him something that would really help stick to his throat. So they went and got some curds or what we might call yogurt. And they took that water and they poured it into the yogurt. And he said that leper took his God-given fork, his fingers, and began to stir up that mixture. Now, if you know anything about leprosy, it is highly contagious and spread via touch. And he said in that moment, he held that cup in his hands, and none of those people were listening to him anymore. They were all staring at that cup to see what he was going to do. And he said, I didn't know what to do in that moment. Except the Lord gave him a verse and gave him some comfort, and he took that cup and drank it up. And I thought to myself, boy, I don't know if I'd ever want to do something like that. Much less me, I would never want my kid to have to do something like that. But then he started talking about all of the lepers who've come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior because of his 20-year ministry there among the leper colonies. And I thought to myself, you know, what is the worth of one soul? We want our kids to do well, but what if God's plan for them is to glorify Him through suffering? Do you know what? If we set a goal and train our kids to do well, we undermine God's purpose in their life. You will not find in this book that we are to seek a life of ease and comfort unfettered by problems. You will not find it here. And yet it is a parenting goal of just about every parent I know, but it's unbiblical. I started thinking about some other general goals that people have today. That our kids be well behaved, Who doesn't want a well-behaved kid? I mean, we have this saying up on the platform because we have kids of a certain age who sometimes do and who sometimes don't follow a general protocol for public decorum in church. And so we have this saying amongst the men on the platform that it's always funnier when it's someone else's kid. And that's the truth. It's always funnier, it's always better when it's someone else's kid. Who doesn't want a well-behaved kid? But you know what? If we teach our children to be well-behaved, that they're to be good, and they're to be poised, and they're to be comfortable and socially acceptable, if we're not careful, what we do is we teach them to read people and to seek to please people, and to a certain extent, even manipulate people. When I shouldn't be so concerned with what you think as I'm concerned with what God thinks. Now, the flip side of that is they need to be well-behaved kids. But do you know why they need to be well-behaved? Not so people will think good of them, but so that they will be able to communicate the love that Jesus has demanded that we have one for another. If you have a well-behaved kid that doesn't operate under that auspice, that I'm polite and good-natured and sociable, and I behave because I want to show love and respect to my fellow human beings, especially my fellow believers, then you know what you're raising? You're raising a hypocrite who performs based on other people's expectations. That, ladies and gentlemen, is an unbiblical way to raise a child. I think about the fact that I want my kid to do well academically. I want my kid to do well academically, and that's a good thing. What do we hear most of the time when we talk about people doing well academically? You've got to get good grades so that you can do what? Go get a good job. That's right. Now, what do we mean by good job? One that makes some good money. And yet, where in the world do we see in this book that we need to weary ourselves, give ourselves to chasing after money? In fact, this book warns against loving, seeking filthy lucre. Proverbs says, why would you give yourself, why would you weary yourself and chase after that which makes wings as an eagle and flies away? Jesus said, moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. And you know what? When we prep our kids, you've got to do well in school, and they should do well in school, but when we teach them that they got to do well so they can go get a good job, let me ask you, what if God would have them do well in school and then turn around and be a Christian school teacher where they barely make a livable wage? Would that be beneath them? You see, when we stop and think about it, a lot of what we have accepted as norms for how we parent, goals that we have for our kids, is really very unbiblical. And what has convicted my heart is when we live wanting them to do well in life, and we live wanting them to have powerful self-esteem, and we live wanting them to be well-behaved and accepted, and we want them to live to do well academically, and we want them to live to be able to enjoy life and to have all of these different experiences. We are teaching them, and we are setting goals for our children that are training our children to seek fulfillment in this life apart from God. Because they're going to look fulfillment in a good life, or in a good job, or in acceptance from other people. And there is no fulfillment there. But if we are not careful, even we as Christians will set goals in our parenting which will inadvertently teach our children to live their life apart. apart from Almighty God. And so the question becomes, should all of my parenting goals be biblical? Yes. 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 You mean all of the goals that we have, we ought to be able to have a Bible precept or a Bible principle for why we're seeking this? Yes. You mean even in the stuff like when I let my kid play youth sports or do this, that we ought to have biblical goals in mind? Yes. 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 Isn't that a little bit radical? Who are we to think that we could add anything to the framework that God has given? Who are we to think that we know what we can add to God's framework or take away from God's framework? You know what? When we want to interject our own, we don't parent by conviction anymore. We go back to parenting by convenience. This is what I want for my kid right now. And when you parent by convenience, you not only set yourself up, but you set your kid up for failure as well. And so we have to ask ourselves. I had to ask myself, what are my goals as a parent? In love, could I tell you tonight, if you cannot concretely state your goals, then you are at best sending mixed signals. Now next week, we're going to dive into the scriptures a little bit. We're going to talk about three or four different areas that would be great for we as parents to set goals for our children. But if we don't have goals, if we don't have goals that come back to the fact that we were created for the glory of God, to know Him, to do His will, to enjoy Him, then we have to realize that we are teaching our children to function in this culture on its terms. Because this is the type of thing that happens in my home too often. This is the same thing that happens in most believers' homes. You know what we do? We pander to the desires and wishes of the child. What does Johnny want? What does Johnny want? We do our best to get it for him. Because who doesn't want their kid to have more than we had? And so we pander to the desires and wishes of our children. We teach them to find delight in going places and in doing things. We attempt to satisfy their lust for excitement and for entertainment. We give them material things, and then we take great delight when they take great delight in those same possessions. And then do you know what we do? Then we hope, after pandering to their wants and wishes, teaching them to find joy and excitement in going places and doing things, after working ourselves tirelessly to satisfy their lust for excitement and entertainment, giving them things, you know what we do after all that? We hope that somewhere down the line, they will see that a life worth living is found only in knowing and serving God. Good luck. Good luck. Because for the vast majority of people, the appetites they develop as a child will be the appetites that they chase for the rest of their life. The only goal that is worthy is that we live, breathe, and have our being to the glory of God. Our objective in every context must be to set a biblical worldview before our children. They are made in the image of God. They are made for God. And the reality for them and us is this, that they will only find themselves as they find Him. That real living is only experienced as they experience Him. The psalmist said in Psalm 73, beginning in verse 25, he said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And that, church, is the goal of parenting. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he shall not depart from.